We started this part one a couple weeks ago. We're finally getting to part two, and there's actually a part three now. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" So we are talking about this subject. It's called this, count the cost decision-making. Count the cost decision-making. The purpose of this thing is this talk we're having is how to make good decisions. And this is for everybody. This is for kids. This is for teenagers. This is for adults. This is for seniors. How do I make a good decision? And what we're calling this is count the cost decision-making. So we're following that verse. I'm going to count the cost. Because a lot of times we ask ourselves, you know, how come some people are just so lucky? You ever ask that? Why does that person just seem like they're so blessed? Why is it just seems like God keeps opening up the doors for them? And, you know, well, I do believe God blesses people. I also believe that God gives people wisdom and the ability to make good choices. I believe a lot of times people make good choices. I believe a lot of times people make really bad choices. Okay? It just, guys, listen, I've been in the ministry 4 years, I've had the front row seat to families and lives and finances, and sometimes people just make really bad choices. It's just like, bad choices. Well, this passage we're looking at is, says, listen, basically, you know, who would build without counting the cost? Look at verse 29. This is a review of what we talked about. And they're talking about this builder. "Less happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him." So you know, this guy has big plans, and he says, you're not going to build this house, and then you lay the foundation, and you can't even finish it. What's going to happen? People are going to mock you because you didn't complete the project. This week, we were down in an area, we're doing some hiking, and in the middle of the woods, beautiful woods, there are four mansions. Is it four? I think it's four mansions, right, Aim? And they are huge mansions, like ginormous, crazy mansions in the woods, boarded up. You know, they probably built 10 years ago. They never got finished because someone didn't count the cost. There's a dirt road going to these four huge mansions, and they've been vandalized. All the copper's been stolen out of them. You know, there's signs up on there. They're trying to sell at an auction. And these multi-million-dollar mansions never got done because someone didn't count the cost. They laid the foundation, started doing the work, and they said, oh, we're running out of money. Now, this is what this guy's talking about here in the book of Luke. Here he says, listen, you be careful. You don't do something like this, and you don't finish this project, people are going to laugh at you. Look at verse 30. And this is what the people are saying. "This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? So no one goes to war without matching up the, you know, the odds. 32. "Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple." So we look here and we really kind of see what he starts to say here. Jesus talking, he's saying, listen, your decisions determine your destiny. In other words, the decisions that I make today determine where I'm going to end up tomorrow. Guys, do you understand this? I want you to get this. Young people, I want you to get this. Everybody ends up somewhere in life. Do you understand that part so far? Everybody ends up somewhere. Okay? You're going to end up somewhere. Right now, that somewhere is Dayspring Baptist Church. You're sitting here on a Sunday night. But everyone is going to end up somewhere in life. A few people end up somewhere on purpose. Okay? You're going to end up somewhere. A few people end up there on purpose. There's a huge difference. Some people just end up because this is the way that the water went, and they just flowed with it, and, well, here I am, you know. That's most people. Some people are going to end up somewhere on purpose, and you say, I'm here on purpose. I did this on purpose because of choices I made. And the outcome of our lives hinges upon the choices that we make. And there's other factors, too. I realize there's other factors, health and so forth, things around us. But really, the importance we're talking about tonight is the choices that we make really are significant, okay? It's not just c'est la vie, it's not casual. You make a choice and you end up somewhere. Most people end up somewhere just because they're there. Some people end up somewhere on purpose. Here's what we talked about last time. We talked about this real quick. Not every choice is of equal weight. There's some easy choices to make in life. There's some heavy choices. Again, listen to the podcast and you can catch up. Number two, many decisions or choices do not require immediacy, okay? This is the last Toyota that's for sale. You gotta buy it now, Really? Number three, typically we make the worst decisions when made by emotion or passion. I love this person. I must get married. I have to. The train's leaving and I'm left at the station. Right? How about this one? I need that red sports car. Now that's why are you laughing? I need a red sports car. How many of you here need a red sports car? Steve? All right, who is that back there? Oh, you need a red sports car? Can you drive yet? No? A couple years, but you need one. Well, you should ask your dad for one. If he's a good dad, he'd get you one. I have to have this house. It's the last house available in Waukesha for sale. I got to buy this one. This is the one I got to have. What does the Bible say about count the cost decision making? What does it look like? Well, here's some things that we want to really get down and get personal on. Again, this is a review. Listen to the podcast. Number one, when you're making a decision, this is a review. Number one, rely on biblical principles, okay? Don't forget the Bible here is the instruction book for life. The Bible has direct biblical instruction. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, pretty easy to read that one. The Bible also has what we call principle instruction. Principle instruction. Pastor Dan, should I go buy the 80-inch flat screen at Costco for $5,000? Well, the Bible doesn't say do or do not have an 80-inch flat screen. I really don't care how big your TV is. But the Bible does talk about being in debt and using your finances wisely. Some people, buying an 80-inch is no big deal. Praise the Lord. I'm happy. I really am. That's great. Some people, that's the dumbest thing you could ever do. Okay? It's just stupid. Don't do it. All right? So there's direct biblical instruction and there's just principle instruction in the Bible. Number two, counting the cost means I choose conservatively. Okay? As a Christian, God is conservative. Amen, church? Okay. Therefore, as a Christian, I choose conservatively. Okay? Always choose conservatively. Let's pick up now on number three. We left off there. Here's number three. Ready? Here we go. Number three, be informed. When you're making a decision, be informed. The guy here in Luke chapter 14 didn't walk into the situation without being informed, right? He knows what's going on. He knows who he's up against. He knows what he's up against. He's informed. He had counsel. Church, listen. Never, never, never be pressured into anything. Do not allow that to happen. All right? Now, I don't want to see a raise of hands. Don't raise your hand. But just think in your mind. Have you ever been pressured into a decision that you now regret? Yes. Yeah, right. You got to buy this now, right? I'm the guy, I like freebies as much as the next person, right? And I'm susceptible to the sales pitch. And sales pitch are always incredibly high pressure, you know what I'm saying? If you don't buy this right now, the offer won't be here in 10 minutes. I'm the guy that's going, I got to buy this. That's just me, all right? I don't do good with that kind of stuff. But don't ever make a decision under duress, okay? Just don't do that. You feel pressured. Knowledge is power. Research is king. Now, I'm not talking about buying a can of peanut butter, but if you're making a major purchase, you're buying an appliance, I don't know, you're buying a car, you're buying a house, something, whatever, just shop it. All right, nowadays with Google and stuff, we got more information at our fingertips than any time in history. Let me give you a quick example. The house that we have right now came with a hot tub, and it's got a beautiful hot tub sitting on the deck, and we love our hot tub. Does anyone here have a hot tub? Anyone use a hot tub? Some of you, okay, you got a hot tub back there. She's got a hot tub, right. The girl with the sports car's got a hot tub. We just love using our hot tub in the wintertime. It's just kind of like sitting by a campfire. We were in the family, me and Amy and the boys, we get in there together, and it's one-on-one time. We talk. You know, the TV's off, the video games are off, and we're talking. And for us, it's a really good family thing to do. And the boys get clean. Besides that, I got in there the other day. This is last week. I got in there, opened the cover. I go to hop in because I love going in at nighttime. It was 108 degrees. Hot tubs normally are 103. Do you know what 108 degrees feels like? It's about a degree short of boiling is what it feels like. Something is wrong with it. And literally, I was thinking, you know, I think my wife's trying to kill me. You know, 108 degrees. So I looked it up online, and the computer board, you know, the relay board, where it's at, the thing is $800 to replace the computer board inside the hot tub. And I'm looking at Amazon, and this is it was hottubs.com or something, I don't know what, spa.com, whatever. One left. It's flashing. One left. $800. I got to buy it because it's the last one, and it's an old hot tub, right? You know how you're thinking that? And I got to buy this $800. Stop. I'm going to Google this. Sure, Google it. Sure enough, they said it's one of the relays on the board. It can be pulled off and put in. It's $12 on Amazon. And you can just buy that, pop it in there, and it's a heater relay, and it'll turn back on, and it will turn on and turn off. The fact that I didn't rush into the impulse buy, because I'm informed, I saved $788 on that thing, right? Getting it fixed. But it's real easy to say, one left, I got to buy it now. Well, be informed, okay? Do stuff. Use wisdom. Get counsel. Be a cheapskate. That's okay. Talk to people. What would you do? How would you fix it? You know, if I'm going to fix a car, maybe I pray for, talk to Greg Maynard or Todd and want to fix a car. If I can fix a car, I fix a car. I love to do oil changes. I can afford to have someone do my oil changes for me. That's not a problem. But I like to do it because I'm a cheapskate. I like to do it because me and Cole get underneath the car, the two of us, and the goal is trying not to make a mess, and it's a little competition we got. And I just love to do it. It's me and my son, we're doing it, we're getting our hands dirty. And I could do it, and it's like we do it for $21. You know what I'm saying? I'm in and out, I do it when I want to do it. It's not because I can't afford to do it. It's just, for me, I'm a cheapskate, okay? But I'm informed. I learned how to do that. I can do something like that. How about this? Be informed about the medication that you take. Just because the doctor says take it, get another opinion. At least go to Mayo Clinic online or WebMD or something. I'm not giving you any medical advice, but the bottom line is what I'm saying. Don't just take some medicine because some guy says to take it, especially when it comes to depressants or meds for your children. Nowadays, they're handing out medication like it's Skittles. Why? It's called big money. It's called huge money. Parents, I am not a doctor. I'm not even a nurse. Be very cautious about giving your kids medicine for that kind of stuff, okay? Seek counsel. There's lots of good Christian books. Talk to someone else. When it comes to those kind of things, you get your kids on it, you may not get them off. It may affect them. I just can't stress it enough. Just because your doctor says it doesn't mean it's the gospel. Get a second opinion, or third or fourth. How about this? Find a Christian doctor. See what they say, okay? Just be careful. Be informed. Well, I have to do it. Well, you don't have to do anything right now. When you do research, you can always make better and more informed decisions. And there's verses here in Luke chapter 14. The king obviously consulted people. He obviously made a wise decision. Talk to people that know more about something than you do. Talk to someone that knows more about a topic than you do. Be cautious. Just because it's on the internet either doesn't mean that it's right, okay? But you seek counsel from other people. And there's never been a time in society when we've been able to make more informed decisions, okay? Make informed decisions. Number four. When making count the cost decisions, always consider the consequences. So when making a decision, consider the consequences. Many make decisions because at the moment it seems good. But it's only a good decision at that moment. So always consider the consequences. In other words, this. Project into the future to make your best choice. Does that make sense? I don't know if I wrote that right. Project into the future to see if you've made the best choice. So, if you're going to make a decision today for something, in your mind, project into the future. What is this decision going to affect me over there somewhere? In a month, in 6 months, in 5 years, in 10 years? How is that going to affect me? So kind of think into the future a little bit. How do I make the best choice based upon 5 years from now, right? When you're raising your kids, well, I'm going to make this choice. Is this the best choice for a year from now, for 5 years from now, for 10? Is this the best choice to help them be the best kid that they can be, the best parent, the best, you know, spouse that they can be? And ask yourself these questions. Letter A, ask yourself these questions. How will this decision affect my relationships? So the decision I'm going to make today, how does it affect my relationships? Number one, my wife, my children, my coworkers, my friends, my church. The decision that I'm going to make, will this lead to something negative in their life? Will it? So you project into the future a little bit, saying the decision I'm going to make, how does this affect my relationships? Because there's always going to be consequences. When you look back at this passage here in Luke chapter 14, Jesus talked about it. You know, listen, if you don't have money to finish the project, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be made fun of. If you go to war unprepared, you're going to be defeated. People are going to die. Project ahead. Think about this, okay? You don't want to be bankrupt. You don't want people to die because of the decisions you're going to make. Project ahead. How is this going to affect my relationships? Second thing, letter B. How will my decision affect my future financial position and my goals? So the first one is, how will it affect my relationships? The second one is, how will it affect my financial position, my financial goals? Many people make foolish choices because they don't think about what it costs them in the future. Have you heard this saying? If you have the credit, you can get it. That is the worst advice I have ever heard. It's terrible. Well, you got the credit. Just because you have the credit doesn't mean you should do it. It's a terrible philosophy. It's just not good. If you're not thinking about your future, you're going to have a problem. Think, you know what, am I able to really honestly and truly make the payments on this? What if things go bad? What if I lose my job? What if the furnace breaks? What if the car gets a flat tire? Am I still going to be able to do it? What you don't want is the repo man knocking on your door. Refrain from a purchase rather than suffer the consequences of a bad choice. You're better off not to drive that car than to have the repo man come knocking. Amen? That makes so much sense, right? It's better for you not to have the 80-inch flat screen than for you to have to eat, you know, macaroni and cheese for the rest of your life. It's just not worth it. Okay? So how does it affect my relationship? How does it affect my finances? Number three, how will my decision affect my health? Boy, people don't consider this one. I go and visit a lot of people in the hospital, and a lot of times I run into people that are suffering because of decisions that they made back then, okay? I have a dear friend of mine who smoked for his whole life, and I'll just tell you this. Okay, I smoked one cigarette in my life, all right? I got it from my dad. My dad's passed away now, so I can confess that. And I smoked it out, and we had a fort in our backyard. I smoked a cigarette. I got sick to my stomach, and I just like, this is the dumbest thing. What is cool about it? This is so stupid. So I don't have any idea what it's like, okay? So I'm not talking about smoking from a position of experience, but here's what I do know. I do know my very dear friend is in his 60s, and he literally struggles for every breath. The problem is, when he was 16, he didn't project into the future, what is this habit going to look like when I'm 60, okay? What it looks like now is him sitting in front of a television set, and that's pretty much all he can do with his life. He struggles for air. He is the greatest soul winner I've probably ever known. He's sold out for Jesus Christ. He's got this stubborn habit that I'm sure he'd give $1 million if he can get rid of it. But he's 60, sucking for oxygen. If he would have thought about that when he's 16, he would have made a different choice, okay? Project in the future. How does this affect my future health? And is this a good thing? And you just don't want that. You know, this last week, I love to bike. I used to do a lot more biking than I do now. And Bryce and I got out in the trails finally this week and started biking. Bryce loves to mountain bike, and we have a good time. Okay, I counted the cost, and I projected into my future how some of these mountain bike trails are going to play out on a 53-year-old man. My son would go down some of these. This is probably some of the most technical, literally mountain bike, and I mean mountain bike trails I've ever seen. He took them without blinking. Not daddy-o. You know what? I think I'm walking down this one, right? Why? Because I'm projecting into my health. I do not have the speed or the agility or the fast reflexes. I wish I did, but there's just no way that a 53-year-old guy has got the same that, you know, a 19-year-old kid had. When I used to mountain bike at 19, I'd do crazy, crazy things. But now it's like, you know what? I love biking. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to project in my future. I'd really like to be alive at the end of this trip. And so the thought of pain, the thought of hospital visits, wait a second. Well, there's just some biking trails I just don't take anymore. I wish I could take them. I feel like I'm cool. Got the helmet on. I got the gloves on, my Camelback. I'm like awesome. Walking my bike down the trail. I'm cool. You know. Hey, at least I'm out there. All right, number five. List the benefits and the liabilities. It is done to some degree in this parable. We see the parable Jesus is talking about. The guy asks. I mean, he does ask. Do we really need a tower? So here's what I'm saying when I say list the benefits, list the liabilities. In other words, this: make a list of the pros and cons of what your decision is, okay? Get a piece of paper, pro, con. Write the pros, write the cons. And if you're honest about it, key word there, Larry, is being honest about it, right? You can come up with a pretty good list of the pros and the cons about the decision I'm going to make. So in other words, you could list the benefits, okay? I'm going to tell you what's not a benefit, I'm going to give you some things that are not a benefit. The fact that that car is shiny is not a benefit to your car. All right? You get that? But it's so shiny. That's nice. The non-shiny car can get you to Walmart just as good as the shiny car can. So that's not a benefit. All right? It's just not a benefit. That's not a pro. You don't put that on the pro side, all right? Make sure that you're clear. Make sure you're direct. Make sure you're honest. You can list out clear and certain list some of the liabilities there. Listen, and when you're doing that list of pros and cons and your liabilities here, if your gut tells you to stop, just stop, all right? You know what I'm talking about? Men, those of you that are married, here's what I really believe. I believe that God gave you a wife to keep you from scheming, because us men are good with schemes, and we just have it. Boy, it's shiny. This is something I need. And our wife sits there and says, you are the dumbest box of rocks I've ever known. Guys, if your wife just says, don't feel good about that, you just take that as a direct revelation from God Almighty that He just spoke to you and said, I don't think we should do that, okay? Just if your gut just says, I don't know about that decision. I don't think you should buy that. I don't think you should go there. Then just, but don't downplay those negatives, Don't unfairly weigh the pros and cons just to get the outcome that you want. We do that, right? I'll give you an example. Ready? Do I have time? I have time. I'll give you an example. When I was 23 years old, like every 23-year-old, well, Polly Sue, you're not 23, but you have a Jeep, and you have a very cool Jeep. So Polly Sue, when I was 23, I thought it was cool, and I wanted to buy a Jeep, and I bought a Jeep. I bought a CJ7 with a rag top on it, 4x4 with a straight six in it, and had four-speed, I'm going to list the pros and the cons, okay? Pros and the cons. Well, the pros is that it had big wheels. You're laughing. Okay, yeah. But what I did is I started being disproportionate. I was being dishonest in my list. For instance, I looked inside the car, opened the door, and on the passenger side, the floorboard where you put your feet was totally rusted out, where you could see down through the floorboard, and it was just rotting out and getting soft. Here's what I did as a 23-year-old knucklehead. I can fix that. You can't fix that. No, I can. I can fix that, right? Because we're all like to be the eternal optimist. And I can fix that. And so I took that off the con list, rust. And I said, no, I can fix the rust. You ain't going to fix the rust. Don't say you're going to fix it, because you're not going to fix it. Those of you that know something about motors, the motor had a bad lifter in it, okay? And a lifter, like if you hear, like Chevys have a lot of times, like the engine's running, like that. And I can fix that. No, you can't fix a stuck lifter on a Jeep. No, you're not going to do that on this thing. It had like 150,000 miles on it. You're not going to do that. So the point is, I'm getting it, is I wasn't being dispassionate about it, being passionate about it. And I convinced myself that this is the Jeep that I need to buy, even though it was a total piece of junk. But I was cool for the whole month that I owned it. I tell you, it was awesome. And I had the top off, and I was driving through people's fields, and I thought I was awesome. Praise the Lord, I found someone else to buy it from me off of Craigslist, and I'll leave it at that. Amazing what you can sell with enough Armor All, but when the pros and cons are nearly equal. So if you got your list of pros and you got your list of cons, and if they're about the same, right, the bottom of the list about the same, and you're honest with it, then here's what you do. You go back to what I said earlier, and you choose conservatively.
We are very interested in you and your spiritual growth. If you want to contact Dayspring for prayer or more information, you can reach us at 262-404-5092. Or on the web at dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for listening.